Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another Activating Abundance episode on Not Your Average Lives. This is my second to last one. Next one is the last one, and then I'm going to start a new series. And my new series, I'll talk about it on the next Activating Abundance episode. I'm really excited about it. I already have a plan like through July for what I'm going to be doing. So stay tuned for that. I'm also very excited because I am, and if you're checking in on my YouTube channel and seeing this video, I look a little hot mess today. I number one, need a shower. Number two, I'm not wearing any makeup. Thank God for Zoom soft filters because they help a little bit. So I'm very excited because tomorrow I am getting in my car and driving 2 hours to spend two nights with my besties from college. So if you have any besties that go back like 40 years, you know what I'm talking about. One of them was my sweet mate randomly in the dorms. We met when I was actually 17 because I started college when I was still 17. And the other one we met when we were, she and I, my sweet mate, were rushing a sorority, which we ended up not ever joining, but we had fun during rush. But we met her. She joined the sorority. She ended up becoming the president of the sorority. And then ended up going to another college and kind of being in charge of the sorority at that other college, which took her to Florida for pretty much her whole adult life. But she's recently moved to California. So I have not seen her for 3 years since before the pandemic. So I'm going to see my one bestie who she lives in Virginia. So I see her a couple times a year. But yeah, it's been a long time since three of us have gotten together. There is a fourth musketeer, I guess, although there's only three musketeers, but so there's what we'll consider four musketeers in this case, but the fourth one can't make it because she has work stuff. But yeah, we'll be thinking about her and probably texting her while we're together. So anyways, I hope you are looking forward to something coming up in your life. I also have a business trip next week. So I'm going to be in California for my first business retreat in about 2.5 years. So I'm very excited to see my coach in person and to see my business bestie. So it's basically the next week is going to be all these reunions with my besties. So very excited. But today, what my subject is going to be in regarding activating abundance is something that came up when I was talking to my last guest. My interview, my last episode was with Liberty Baldovino, and she is from the Philippines. And she has an amazing story of like looking past her circumstances and seeing what was possible. And so I thought I just wanted to have that conversation. If you want to listen to her, that episode, it's a great one. She is a 56-year-old grandmother who was in poverty, essentially, in a developing country. And by the way, did you know that you're not supposed to say third world country? I had that in my email, and the person who does my email corrected me. So he's a millennial, and I am so bad about being politically correct. I'm not up with the time sometimes. And I don't know if this happens to you, but it's like, I guess I really need to like look things up, but some things I just don't even have a clue. So when he said, I said, when did third world country become, you know, inappropriate? And I guess you're supposed to say, because I Googled it, because I was like, okay, I need to get educated on this. But you're supposed to say, you can say developing country. That is an optional replacement. But then they had another, like, much longer thing that you could say, which was so, like, just didn't seem like accurate. And even developing country isn't accurate, because honestly, the Philippines is not advancing much technologically, and they're still a very undeveloping country. So it's all confusing to me, but I did correct my email and change it to developing country. So just to be politically correct. So if I happen to make a mistake and say third world country, I'm sorry. Don't hold against me. It's just me, grandma, living in the dark ages. but just to give you an idea, the people in the Philippines don't make a lot of money. And so Liberty was saying how she had a job in their school system and was making $200 a month. I mean, think about that. $200 a month. So that is something that's really hard to, when you're in it, to see your way out of. And so I have to give her major kudos for becoming an entrepreneur, to paving her way to a better situation for her family. And she talks in the episode about how basically that was, you know, when you have a deeper why than why you're doing something, and often if it's for somebody else and not you, it makes your goals even more, makes you even more determined to hit your goals. And so she figured it out. She didn't even start using a computer until just a few years ago. And now that's her livelihood. So it's pretty incredible. So I wanted to talk to that because she's such a good example of somebody who activated abundance by looking past her circumstances. In other words, she did not let her circumstances stop her from making stuff happen, from changing her life and the trajectory of the future. And she wanted to be able to provide. She said her whole paycheck went to debt collectors. So I can't imagine that situation. So, and that's what happens to many people who have circumstances that are like Liberty's before she became an entrepreneur. And I get that it's hard, because when you're in the thick of it, it's so hard to see something else. And, you know, kind of like drowning. What comes to mind is going through ice and not being able to find the hole that, you know, you came in on and you can't get out of. It disappears and you're just locked in there under the ice. And so there are, in one way, to start to find your way to that hole in the ice that you can get out of and be free from that under ice feeling. But there are, look for clear examples of people who have become successful, people that have moved into a much richer in more ways than one. But when I speak of richer, I think of fuller, more fulfillment, more dreams coming true, not just monetary. But think of people that have reached more success who came from a life of very circumstances that were somewhat dire, potentially the worst of circumstances, right? So I looked some people up because I thought examples will be helpful. The first one that came to my mind was Oprah, because I know her story. I mean, she was the product of a one-night stand. And so her mother and father were never together. They were never even in a relationship. And she was in a very bad situation. She lived with her mother initially, but she was around 12 or 13 years old. She was in a boarding school. I don't know what happened to put her in there, but she was also sexually abused. I think it started at 9 for her. and got pregnant when she was like 13 or 14 and was sent to live with her father, which was actually her saving grace. So she had quite a challenging life. And I did not know this, but when I was looking it up just to refresh my memory and get some more details for this episode, she actually dropped out of college. She didn't finish college because she had the opportunity to go work at a radio station or a TV station. Anyways, it was in Baltimore. So she to work as a broadcaster. So she left college for that opportunity. So yeah, she had already pulled herself, obviously she went to college. She had already pulled herself out of those dire circumstances and was on her way. But it's just an example of somebody who from conception didn't have a lot going for her circumstance-wise. And then a couple other examples are Jim Carrey. He actually, when he was a kid, his family lost their home and were living in a van. And at age 15, he had to quit school to help support his family. So that is another example. And another is Dolly Parton, who I love. And she's got such a huge heart. She lived in a one-room cabin with her family, and they had dirt floors. And I don't know if you know Dolly Parton's songs, but one of my favorite songs, in fact, it's on my playlist on my phone, is Coat of Many Colors. And it talks about the coat her mom made for her, made of many different colors, different, you know, coats patched together, is essentially what the song's about. And it's about her kids made fun of her, but the coat was made with love. And if you've never heard of it, you just got to Google it. Coat of Many Colors. It's an amazing song. But yeah, so Dolly. And then the last one I'll use as an example is Ralph Lauren. And I did not know that Ralph was very poor. He came from Jewish immigrant parents, and he actually enlisted in the army, which a lot of people who come from poor backgrounds, they a way to do something and get a lot of training and be successful is to enlist in one of the armed services. So he went in the army, and when he got out of the army, he worked at Brooks Brothers as a clerk, and he started selling wide ties. So that was his first foray into the fashion business. And do you remember those wide ties? I think if you're my age, you remember those wide ties. First, they were really skinny, like in the 50s and 60s. And then like in the 70s, they got really wide. And it's like, that was the thing. They were kind of like horrendous looking back at it. But yeah, so, and when I think about like, if I'm talking about how to look past your circumstances, so I think of different buckets, because people, when they think circumstances, sometimes their mind will go to one place first, and it might be money. So I don't have the money. My circumstances are my bank account is at zero, or, you know, I don't have the money to do what I want to do. Another one is I don't live in where I can be successful. I don't live in a place where I can make good connections. Might live in a bad neighborhood where there's, you know, lots of gangs, or you might live in a country like Liberty where there's not the opportunities that are in other countries. But there are some people who up and leave and just go to and move. They move to a new city. They move to a new state. They move to a new country. They can see past those circumstances and they make something happen. So, you know, it's where you live and it's the people that you associate with as well. So when you think about where you live, you know, you think about neighborhood. People can be anywhere. People can be the people you hang out with as you socialize. It can be the people that you hang out with at your job. It can be the people you hang out with on the internet, the people you follow, the people you watch on TV. So yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, so who is that kind of living to your circumstances, you know, and I think of, you know, living, you know, to not get past your circumstances. I think of, you know, watching a reality show where all they do is fight and yell and throw things, or Jerry, whatever Springer show. Yeah. Those kind of keep you kind of thinking like, you know, my circumstances are okay. You know, you look at those other people, right? But how can you choose something better to improve your circumstances? Some educational show, for example, network with people who are somebody that you can learn from, people that you can learn from. And then the other bucket is like your job skills, whether it's a job that you feel like you're trapped in, or a skill set that you just feel like I can't do that. Like Liberty, as an example, who didn't have the computer skills, and she wanted to, if she was going to be an entrepreneur, she damn well better learn how to use a computer, right? And she has to learn. And in her case, it was writing. She wanted to write. And now she ends up funny. She writes eBooks. So here she is, didn't even know how to use a computer. And just a few years later, she's got her own business and she's writing eBooks for a living. So there's opportunity to learn new skills. So as I go down these buckets, you know, I think, okay, how if somebody's living in these circumstances that they feel that they are stuck with and they have no control over, how can you look past them? And that's where kind of the abundance mindset needs to kick in. So you have to be, number one, grateful for what you have. So you have to look for the good, look for the positive, right? And sometimes that's hard when you don't have the circumstances. You know, an example of being abundant in that state would be something like, I live near a library and I have access to a computer. That would be something that would be, you know, you can choose to look at something abundantly, because then you can use that computer to then go in search of, you know, connections and new skills and new job and that sort of thing. But you have to really be intentional about this. It's just, you can't sit back and coast and like wish for it and try to manifest it. You got to take the action steps to, you have to first visualize and look past and look for the possibilities. And then you have to take action on those. And if you put in your head that this is what you desire, the universe will start to help you. But that universe wants to see action as well. So the, you know, for somebody who's saying, you know, if you look at the first bucket of money, well, I don't have the money to do stuff. Well, how, if you did have the money, what could be possible? And then your brain starts to say, and maybe you never know where money's going to come from, right? I got this huge check from my mother who apparently, when they lived in Florida, they closed some account or something and they never got their money from it. And it was like a $7,000 check. And I was like, oh my gosh, you never know where money's going to come from. And so one of the things that I thought, if somebody's thinking, I don't have enough money and I want something, have you ever tried to negotiate with somebody to either get them to lower the price or to see if they, if it's some course you want to take, do they have a scholarship? Or how about you barter? Say, do you need some help? And I will work for you for free if you give me this whatever thing. All right. So when you think, I don't have the money, look past that and look for how you can make it happen. Be resourceful. That's the word I'm looking for. So, and then where you live, you can, just because you live somewhere doesn't mean you can't mingle with people that live somewhere else. So one of the things that I love is the internet, because the internet is a gift for all of us. You can find your people. So this is how I found my coach. I found him, I was listening to his podcast, and you know, now, I mean, he's been my coach for over 3 years now. So and it's completely changed my life. He has changed my life. And so if I hadn't of like heard his name in a I was at a conference. If I hadn't gone to the conference and exposed myself to this group of people at the conference, I would have never have heard his name. And then I would have never have tried to Google him, and then found out he had a podcast, and then started listening to his podcast and loved him so much. And then started like, okay, what else does he do? Oh my gosh, he does this mastermind for people. He has this program. I can learn how to be like, have my own program. He'll teach me how to do it. I would have never had the expansion in my life if I hadn't looked past the possibilities. Back then I was working a corporate job that I hated, and I didn't think I would ever be, you know, I didn't think I was would do what I do now, or was even capable of it. My circumstances, I might have said, oh, I'm in this corporate job and I'm stuck here regardless because it pays the bills, because it has health insurance, all the reasons that you tell yourself logically why you should stay somewhere when you know in your heart that your heart is not in it and it's not what you're meant to do. So you have to look past it and then start to seek that which you want. And so, and that goes with the skills too, because like I said, I didn't have the training and the certifications that I have now. I sought them out. And once I started putting myself in that position and that mindset of, you know, I know what I'm curious about, what I'm interested in. I know my circumstances are such that I don't have the licensure or whatever you want to call it, the certifications. So how can I make that happen? What can I do? And I actually, for my my coaching certification, I was lucky enough to get into a beta program of a new certification that somebody I had met from my business mentorship, and she was doing it, and it was a low cost because it was a brand new, and I was the first group. I was part of the first group she did. And so, and I just recently did this with another certification too. So make your circumstances. Don't settle for your circumstances. Make new circumstances is what I'm trying to say. So, so the job thing, and this might be you, or you might know somebody who is like this, but they are so miserable in the job they're in. And they say, I can't leave. I can't leave my job. It's impossible. Well, nothing's impossible. And sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes, sometimes you get laid off, and that is not something that is comfortable. And it's happened to me a couple of times. And, you know, particularly somebody who likes to be in control of stuff. And then when that happens, it's like, what? Such rejection, such, even if you hated the job, but it's usually for the best. And I tell you, I've interviewed a lot of people on my podcast who that happened to, and they all say 100%, 10 out of 10. So, or however many I interviewed, like it's 100% say it's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, now I'm doing what I'm doing and I love because that happened to me while they were going through it, it was hell. But yeah, so don't feel that there are no options. If you're in the circumstance of a shitty job that you don't like, then number one, you're not supposed to be there. If you feel like you are not happy in a job, it's not what you're supposed to do. Newsflash, it's not what you're supposed to do. So you got to figure out what makes you happy and then go for it, and you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded for having the guts to do it. So look at Jim Carrey. I think they are saying he can make $15 million a movie. So yeah, that's what you do. You go for it. Believe that the circumstances were meant to give you some sort of gift of understanding, of lesson learned, of perspective that other people would not have, that haven't been in that sort of circumstance. If you're talking about kind of a less than ideal circumstance, a dire circumstance of some sort. And it can be, it can be poverty. It can be abuse. It can be just a circumstance of misery for whatever reason. Yeah. It doesn't have to just be money related, but A lot of times it is. A lot of times it's related to money, and that's where people get stuck because they think they need money to get out of the circumstance when they really don't need money. They just need creative ideas, creative ideas. So this was on my mind because I thought Liberty was such a good example of someone who had some circumstances that most of us would not, a lot of us put in those circumstances, who knows how we get out of them if we just settle like so many people do. But she had the balls, and I'll say balls, even though she doesn't have real balls, but she had the balls to do something about it. I'm sure there was fearful days of her as she was making the transition, but she was stronger than she even realized. And she looked at her family and she knew that she had the power to change things. And she did it. So I'm very happy that I got a chance to meet her and that she came on the podcast to tell her story. So if you have a chance, listen to it. And I will see you or talk to you next week for my last Activating Abundance episode. I hope you've enjoyed the last 51 weeks. We have one left to go, and it's been a joy. And I'm not going to stop being abundant just because I'm stopping recording Activating Abundance episodes. And I'll still periodically come back and talk about abundance because I think it's something that we all need every single day to, you know, have that gratitude and that thoughtfulness of what's good, glass half full, right? Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.